So my title of the talk this morning is, This is Not a Self-Help Program, Part 1. I think there's at least three parts so far, so this is just part 1. It won't be that long, and it's guaranteed not to be carcinogenic as long as you're not having a bacon and pickle sandwich at the same time when you're listening. So, happiness as a lifestyle. I picked up a recent monthly newsletter, and so here's a quote from a headline. 4 tips to flip the joy switch. Now, that was a good start. So here's how it was described. Quote, family, friends, and society exert pressure on us to achieve certain goals or impose their definition of success. When our soul doesn't fit the mold, exciting things can happen. Continuing the quote, happiness strategist Christy Ling seemed to have it all, a high-powered job in Hollywood, significant income, and the envy of all her friends, but her success felt empty. She writes from her home in Los Angeles, this is a quote within the quote, each morning, I'd get up thinking about who I needed to please and then prepare myself to exist for another day. I looked and felt exhausted just about all the time. The worst part is I thought I was doing everything right. That's the end of the internal quote. Continuing the article. After a middle-of-the-night epiphany, Ling left her job and set out to discover what her heart wanted. She began to follow a completely different path as a coach and healer in which success means manifesting joy. End of that quote. So that's the starting point. And it got me thinking a little bit about it. How is that different than what we're doing? And so these statements have a little bit right and have a little bit wrong in kind of from my place in the universe. First, no one would argue that people want to and have a right to be happy. And no one would argue that if you're in an exhausting job that's completely unrewarding, that it might be wise to seek out a different one. But there's a bunch of dangerous kind of unstated premises in how this is written. First, there's the suggestion that the cause of her unhappiness was her job and her need to please others. And once she changed that, everything was great. But this is turning the second noble truth sideways. The second noble truth tells us that looking outside ourselves to satisfy our needs for happiness is the trap. And, you know, in the main, there's no particular jobs that are designed to create happiness under all circumstances. There's no jobs, generally speaking, that you can't be perfectly happy doing. You can be happy as a plumber, a teacher, or a high-powered Hollywood executive, or not. And it's also not to say that sometimes changing jobs isn't wise. The need to please others is a little more problematic. There's a certain truth to it, and there's also an oversimplicity to it. And our need to please others contains a lot of different layers. It can be a movement of the personality that's based on skillfulness, or it can be based on delusion. One of the features of the personality is that it adjusts to the outside world. And sometimes it's skilled, sometimes it's less skilled. So sometimes the discussion is not changing from pleasing others to not pleasing others, but to circle back to the beginning of the example, she may have been simply changing who she was pleasing and how she was pleasing them. So from a place of deeper practice, it's like rearranging the decks up on the Titanic. to quote one of my favorite teachers who's sitting next to me. I don't always like her teachings. So then the question is there no place for seeking joy or seeking happiness? No, but it's like any other place of cultivation. It is working on the personality level with perhaps some threads to a deeper place. So sometimes it's wise to look for things in our lives that create joy and intentionally participate in them. And it can be profound to look intentionally towards joy. And it can heal, especially people who have certain kinds of barriers to experiencing joy. But the danger is that we seek to be changed from a goal-seeking person who is seeking traditional success to a goal-seeking person who is seeking joy all the time. Another kind of example of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So our bigger view as meditators is our nature is inherently free, joyful, and expansive. There's no need to go anywhere or do anything to be free and joyful. It's right here in this moment, while at work, while looking into a baby's eyes, while digging a ditch, or writing an email, which is the modern equivalent of writing a ditch, or digging the ditch. So there's a way that participating in a self-help program can be supportive, but there's also a way that it can be a trap. And spiritual practice can also mix in different categories and be in different places in our lives. And I don't pretend to understand the deepest wisdom in this area. It's an ongoing lifetime practice to figure this out, or to not figure it out, really. And so this is just part one, and parts two and three will follow sometime in the next few months. Thank you.